Reading from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, words that express not only the love Paul had for the people of Philippi, but words that express also my love for you. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am, in Paul's case, in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, or in my case, accepting a calling in the NALC, all of you share in God's grace with me. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Family forever. It's hard to know where to start on a day like this. James and Jeff and Elizabeth, I had promised myself I wouldn't cry this morning. You guys killed that. thanks for your fun-filled and yet loving and caring and just gracious, gracious words. So many people, so many events, so many special and dear memories and friends who've blessed my life and the life of my family for what's now going on almost 25 years. I never would have thought that I would have stayed here or survived, or you would have survived this long. It's not the norm. This is only my second calling in a more than 33-year ministry. Most of my seminary classmates, other pastors, they serve in three or four or five or more places by the time they're finished. I've been blessed to have served in just two, and in this one, as we've already heard, going on nearly a quarter of a century. Sounds like a long time, doesn't it? A quarter of a century. And it is for us in this life, but it's not for God in the scope of eternity. And that's why this place and each of you have been such a gift. Because this isn't about us, it's about Him. This isn't about you and me, it's about Christ. It's about God and what He's done for us in His Son, and about the promise that is ours and the promise He makes to save the world in Jesus. Let me start with where it all started, at least in terms of this life and my life and how our lives together have crossed paths. For me, it started in 1961. I'll make this quick. Many of you know this. I was 6 years old at the time. My father was called to serve as mission pastor here at St. Timothy's. San Jose was projected at that time to be a growing community. Sounds like they were pretty well versed in what they knew. And Camden Avenue was projected to be a good place to set up shop. And so they did, and this congregation started, and it all started before I even knew what was going on. A year and a half later, we moved back to South Dakota. And 4 years later, after that, my dad was called to return to San Jose and to St. Timothy's, and so we came back. I grew up in this area from 1966 to 1986 when Dad retired. I finished grade school at Leeds, went to Dartmouth, then to Branham, then over to West Valley, then San Jose State, from there to seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and from there, my first pastoral call in Elk Grove. I still remember the phone call I received from one of the members of the call team. There was a pastoral vacancy at St. Timothy's they were trying to fill. They were calling to see if I'd be willing to be interviewed for the position. My first reaction was, yes, I'd be more than willing. It's where I grew up. It's a congregation I know well. I would enjoy it. My second reaction was, I'm not quite so sure. Let me pray about it. I better check with Mary, see if this is going to work. My third reaction was, I doubt if this would be a good idea. Because this is the same congregation where a lot of my Sunday school teachers still are. And they know far too much about me in those years. I don't know that this is good. Bottom line, I interviewed, I received the call, and here we are nearly 25 years later on the other end. family forever. That's what you are to me. I want you to know that. I need you to know that. Even in the hard times, I mean, my love for you and for this place and for all that we've gone through, it goes so deep. Even in those hard times, even through those tough times, even through some of those times that we wish those times weren't even happening. And honestly, there really haven't been many. They really haven't. Most of the times have been good. Much of the time has been nothing but a gift. And in all of the time, and for all time, God is good. And we are and we have been blessed. It was quite a week for us, a week like no other, earlier last month when all this changed. For Mary and for me, it's a week that we'd never experienced anything like it and quite possibly never again will. The NELC convocation in Indianapolis, the election of a new bishop for the North American Lutheran Church, they made fun of it, but it's true. Out here on the West Coast, I really didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't. I mean, I would have been very happy had it not. There was part of me that way, but it happened and all of a sudden became real, and from that moment on, it just changed. The vote, the acceptance speech, the installation at the worship, the celebration that night with national and international leaders, it all happened so fast. Do you know what happened the next morning? The night before, Mary and I were nobodies. We were nobodies. I mean, just two faces in this big crowd, right? The next morning, it literally took us 15 minutes to walk from the elevator 40 to 50 feet to the front door. Good morning, Bishop. How are you doing, Bishop? Great to see you, Bishop. Congratulations, Bishop. Can we get a picture of you and your wife, Bishop? I mean, it was, I'm not kidding. And we're thinking, what just happened? I mean, what did we just miss? Do you know what happened in the elevator on the way down? It was hard to miss. We got to the main floor, the door opens, and this little boy walks out. The father says to his son, David, step aside and let the bishop and his wife out first. And we are thinking, wow, this never happens at St. Timothy's. I mean, it was a life-changing week. That's what we both thought the next morning after the election. I mean, all of a sudden, things had changed. Do you know what we realized later that same day? It was almost as if it hit both of us at the same time. Do you know what we realized, what God whispered in our ears? We both realized that it was a life-changing week when it happened. But not when we were chosen and elected to serve in this new role. Life changed for both of us when we were chosen and elected by God in our baptism, in Jesus. And by the grace of God and the power of His Holy Spirit, life has never been the same ever since. It's a life-changing call when the call comes from God. It's a life-changing moment when the election that happens is one that comes from Christ. That's why we are a family. I mean, that's what will keep us always as a family, forever. Our connection is Jesus. What brings us and holds us together is Christ. All of this is so much bigger than us. So much bigger. Life changes when you become a Christian. Life is different when the calling in life comes from Christ. I mean, don't ever think about your life apart from what God has thought and said about you and His Son. Don't even consider your life apart from who you are and will always be because of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Do you know how many jobs I've had since I graduated from seminary? Not a one. Not a one. I have not had a single job for the past 33 years of my life. I've had a calling, two callings, and now I'm about to begin my third. But a calling is not a job. And when it's a calling, all that matters is that you are serving the one who called. Now, you don't have to be a pastor to have a calling in life. God can and He does call people to serve in countless ways. I mean, look around this room. All of you have been called. In our vocations is where we serve God. It's in the work that in which we're involved, whatever it is that we give honor and glory to Jesus. No matter what it is, no matter what you're doing, do it always and in every way as if you are working for and serving Christ, because you are. You don't have to be a pastor to have a calling in life. But on this, my final Sunday, let me put a plug in for becoming a pastor and answering the call. And here I'm talking not so much right now to those of you on the older end of life, but maybe some on the younger end. Middle school, high school, college, 20s, 30s, maybe some of you considering a second career. There is no greater opportunity to impact lives now and for eternity than serving Christ in His church. No greater opportunity, at least not full time. No greater way. Now in the next 10 years, and we've talked about this before, more than 40% of the pastors currently serving in the NALC will be retiring. That means that we need to find pastoral candidates to be trained and to serve. It's one of the biggest challenges I'll be facing in my new role. As I look out over this congregation, and I wouldn't want to go around and start counting, but there are 10 or 15 or 20 or more of you who I know have the gifts. I know you have the faith. I know God's a big part of your life, and if God is calling you to serve, don't fight that calling. I mean, follow it. Talk to us. Talk to me. God has some great things in store, I believe, for some here today in that role. You can always learn the gifts. Life changes when the calling of God happens for all of us. Life is never the same when it's claimed and owned and directed by Christ. As a result, at least for me now, there's a new role that I'll be following in front of me as a result of the decision that was not mine to make, but His. Let me say a little bit about this new role as bishop for the NALC in hopes that Mary and I don't have to answer the same questions many, many times. Many of you have already asked if this new role requires us to move. We've both been asked that same question, although in little different ways. People have asked Mary, you don't have to move, do you? I mean, this isn't going to require you to go away. For me, it's the same question, although phrased a little differently. They've asked, you are going to move, aren't you? I mean, we're sorry you have to leave. So here's the deal. There's no requirement with the office to relocate. The national staff for the NALC is scattered throughout the United States. For now, we've decided we're going to try it here in San Jose for 6 months and see where that leads. And if it turns out we have to move, then we'll figure it out then. In prepping for that possible event, I've already hinted to Mary that we might have to relocate to the Midwest to be a little more central. To her credit, even with two new grandchildren, she's okay with that. She's already told me, if that happens, to have fun. It's only 4 years. You'll be back, you know. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. What she said was, I'll sure miss you when you're gone. That's what happens when you're a family. And that's what we are in Christ. Even when you go away, you're never really gone. Even as transitions in life take place, we all finally will end up together in the same place. My new role will involve preaching and teaching in congregations at mission events. It'll involve visioning and planning and staffing for where we believe God is leading us as a denomination to go. It's an ecumenical role, working with other church bodies. It's an international role, working with some of our partners overseas. There are meetings, celebrations, anniversaries, ordinations, special events. More than anything, it's working with people throughout the country who have the same need in their lives as we have in ours out here, and who trust in the same Savior we've all come to know. And His name is Jesus. His name is Christ. And He has been and He will be the only one I will work to serve and to please. I'm going to miss this place. I'm going to miss each of you. You and this place have a special place in my heart. And it's in my heart that that special place will always remain. Let me show you something on this my final day with you as one of your pastors. How much time do we have, Pastor John? Are we okay with time? All right. I guess if I go over, what are you going to do, fire me? Right. So I've asked a couple of these guys to take out some, I have some things I want to show you here, quite a few things I want you to see. Thanks you guys, Eric and Wayne, for doing that. Do you know what these are? These are copies of sermons preached in the sanctuary. Do you know whose they are? The ones on this side of the table are not mine, but my father's. My dad served here, as I've shared, for almost 22 years. And these are copies of the sermons he preached at St. Timothy's during those years. All right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the ones in the middle, a shorter stack, some of the others he had. He was a gospel preacher. Much of his preaching was from those four books, once in a while somewhere else. When he retired, he took them home and kept them in his office. When he died 8 years ago, I couldn't throw them away, so I took them and put them in mine. Once in a while, I'll pull one out and read it. Now, it was a different time, different audience, different ways of communicating, for sure, but the content was solid and the focus was right on. I was inspired every time I'd read one of his sermons, and I'm glad that I still have a central part of his work. It focused on Jesus. It proclaimed week after week after week the need we have in our lives, the answer that is found in his. Now, on the other side of the table, do you know what those are? Those are also sermons. They're also sermons preached in this sanctuary. Do you know whose they are? They're mine. I didn't have to go back and read those. I wrote those. Actually, God wrote those through me, if you want to know the truth. They're mine. They're copies of the sermons I've preached for during my nearly 25 years. Now, I brought something else with me. It's one of these little cards that I've been available on the back counters the last couple weeks, where you can write a little note to Pastor Dan, whatever. All right. I'm looking forward to reading these cards. Actually, I better read them before I decide if I'm looking forward to it, but the things you wrote. I brought one of those little cards with me. My parents both passed away a few years ago, but I wrote on this card what they might have written if they were still here. This is why this side's from my mom. She writes, she would have wrote, "That Danny sure is a good preacher. I always enjoyed listening to what he shared. He never preaches too long. From start to finish, it's always good. And growing up, he sure was a well-behaved young boy. I wish his sisters and brothers would have been so good. I'm so proud of my son." The flip side's from my dad, with the stack of sermons on my side, the far side, a little bigger than the ones on this side. He wrote just one word: long-winded. There are a lot of sermons laid in front of this altar. Even as they were preached, they were laid before the Lord. I trust that in laying them before the Lord, that he took them and used them to serve this congregation and its people to the glory of Christ. Now, I want you to take a look at the front wall for a moment, and I don't want this family thing to get out of hand. For 47 out of the 57 years since St. Timothy's started, it's been served by a father and a son from the same family. Take a look at this, these two, all right? This was taken on my confirmation day here in this church. The one looks like he could do it. The other, perhaps a young preacher in the making, but hard to tell from this picture if it would ever happen. Do you know what made it happen for these 47 years? Do you know who made it happen that their human and sin-filled lives would be used by God? The one who became human and took on our flesh. And the one who never sinned and who gave his life so that we could have ours. That's the funny part about being a preacher all of these years in the same place. Honestly, about 4 to 5 years into it, my personal preaching well had run dry. And it really had. I had shared with you more in those 4 to 5 years than I had ever learned. But God knows so much more. And so he kept on writing, even as I could not. And here we are 25 years later with the same message as it was from the start. For 25 years, I have worked to stay focused on Jesus. Week after week, sermon after sermon, year after year, my goal was to continue telling you the same thing. His death, his resurrection, the promise we have in Christ. I hope it came through, because it is a message we need to hear, a message I need to hear, and it never gets old. Now let me turn back the clock again to when that phone call from the call team happened and it led to my eventual call. Do you know what I was afraid of when I came here? I was afraid of having to fill these. These are a pair of the shoes worn by my dad. Actually, they're not my dad's shoes. That's not true. I kept his sermons, not his shoes. there are support groups for people who do that. I'm not one of them. But these are big shoes, just like his. Size 12 and a half, to be exact. Shoes bigger than I would ever be able to fill. I'm thankful that no one, when I came here, asked me to fill these shoes. No one. I was afraid that might happen, but it didn't. What they asked me to do was to fill my shoes and not his. And so this has worked, because for 25 years I haven't been asked to fill these, but the ones given to me by God. So here's the deal. You see these shoes? These are my shoes. These are the ones that I've been asked to fill, created to fill by God. And when I'm done here, I'm going to put them on the pulpit just like these others, just so you can see. And I hope that's okay that we put these on the pulpit. Is that all right to do that? I guess if you don't like it and it's not okay, check with the bishop. Maybe he'll see. So I had to work that in. So here's the deal. For 25 years, you've asked me to fill these shoes. And these are the shoes God created me to fill. And I've worked hard to fill them. I pray that I've done it well, and I'm trusting that it's worked. Because when you fill the shoes you've been given by God, that's when it works. And that's how God works. And how it all works for us. I trust that I have. So again, here's the deal. When you find someone else to serve in this place after today, and I'm gone, to fill that role that I've been privileged for these 25 years to fill, don't ask them to fill these shoes, because they're not their shoes. These are mine. And when they get here, they'll bring their own shoes, and pray for them to fill their shoes and carry out the work that God has entrusted to them. That's how it works, and that's when it works. And when it works and how it works, God is at work, and lives change. Before closing, I can't thank everybody here today, but I would like to thank three. First of all, just a real quick word of thanks to our staff. If you're here as staff today, you've ever served on a staff here with me, why don't you just stand where you are? I just want to say publicly, thank you to the staff that we've had over these years. This has been a place where the staff, in so many different ways, has been a gift, a blessing, some up here, some throughout. Tremendous staff that's been here, and each of you in your own special way, tremendous gift to me. Thank you for your work. Second, I want to say a word of thanks to our four kids. And Elizabeth shared some of that already. They're not kids anymore, they're grown adults. And pastors' families get pulled in a lot of things, and we've all heard different stories of how that has played out in different places. Some of those stories, it's not our story. It's been a blessing from day one to have a family and to be blessed with the four children we have. And they have been a gift to Mary and to me, and they've gone through and put up with and endured a lot, but they've understood what it's all about. Tom, Elizabeth, Rebecca, Andy, thanks for your support, your prayers, your encouragement to me and to Mom throughout these years. Tremendous. And then the third, I just want to say a word of thanks publicly to Mary for who she is and what she's been to me and to us. Pastor's wife, like the kids, gets pulled in on a lot. But not just, she's been a sounding board, she's been a confidant, she's held everything I've shared with her in 100% confidence. Nothing ever leaks. She's just been a gift. And I would not be here serving even today if she were not part of my life. God has blessed me with her for all these years, and I just want to say publicly thanks to Mary for all she's done. So let me close with this, all right? You're thinking, how long is he going to go? Let me close with this, all right? And this is a bit of a confession. Remember back to when Pastor Judy announced her retirement? Her first retirement, now she's been pulled back in. The call process, the call team that was formed, what their task was to not only find her replacement, but to begin looking forward to the day when I would step away as well. My prayer from that day forward was that when that day would come, which it now has, that I would be able to leave this place in a good place. And now that it's here, I can say with strong and bold confidence that it is. It is. This place is in a good place. This place has everything God needs to move it forward and to grow. Strong pastoral leadership, rock solid lay and supporting staff, the priorities are clear, the disciple-making direction has been set, and the commitment to share the faith and serve God's people are well established and evident. My confession is that I thought leaving this place in a good place was up to me, and that what would make it a good time for me to leave would be when things that I wanted to see happen were done. My confession is that I was wrong. There's always more to be done. There will always be something that is not still where it needs to be. What makes it a good time is not when it's in my time or your time, but God's. This is His time. I truly believe that. My final week has now arrived. A new calling has been given, and after today, I will move on, and so will you. But because it's His time in the hands of God, it's all good, and the future is secure for all of us. And so my prayer, like the Apostle Paul, has not changed. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Family forever. I look forward to where God will lead in the next 4 years for myself and for the NALC. For you as a congregation of believers at St. Timothy's and for us as a body of Christ that we are and will always be. I love this place. I love each of you, and I always will. I'll be praying for you. I ask for your prayers for me and for Mary as we move on. Thanks for these 25 years. You will always, always, as family, be in my heart. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, for your forgiveness, for your calling, for making us a family forever in Christ. We thank you for these 25 years and for the countless ways in which we were drawn closer to each other and to you. Thank you for using us. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for who you are and for what we can become in Christ. Lord, we pray that these next chapters would be ones in which you would be glorified in us. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us the faith we need to be bold in our witness and confident in speaking your name. Thank you for bringing us together and for keeping us together even as we part. Fix our eyes on Jesus, center our minds on Christ, and keep our hearts always in line with your heart, that our lives might be used for the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.